When we bought our house on Peabody Street in 1981, I was pretty sure that I'd see fewer birds here than if we lived out in the woods. But even though I live on a regular lot in a typical Duluth neighborhood, I've seen 27 species of warblers, 7 species of owls, the first rufous hummingbird ever seen in St. Louis County, and seen several other notable rarities, like white-winged dove and summer tanager, all in my own backyard. Over these 4 decades, I've built up a yard list of 173 species, which seems pretty darned respectable. To what do I attribute my good luck? First of all is location. Whether birds are following the north shore of Lake Superior in fall or the south shore of Lake Superior in spring, they can't clear the lake until they reach the tip right here in Duluth. And my neighborhood is directly below Hawk Ridge, the best place for observing the stream of migrants in the whole city. I can see streams of raptors, geese, swans, and even the occasional pelicans and cranes flying overhead from my own backyard. Then there's the matter of time. I was a stay-at-home mom, and since then, my writing career, such as it is, has kept me at home a lot. I've always kept my desk by a window, so even when I'm working, I'm paying attention to birds. Habitat is critical, too. I was attracted to the house in the first place because of a group of 5 tall white spruces in the backyard that I later discovered had been planted by a little boy as a memorial to his brother who died in World War I. The city never finished the street next to our corner lot, leaving a tiny wooded area behind our yard. The large maples and box elders and a couple of mountain ashes made it even more alluring. Those perks didn't make much of a difference for Russ, but the house was a good size, affordable, and an easy walk or bike ride to his job, grocery and hardware stores, elementary school, and the post office. I knew I'd be happy here as I carried in the first box on moving day. A bald eagle flew overhead to the accompaniment of a chorus of evening grosbeaks. 4 of the spruce trees have fallen now, and the mountain ashes have seen better days. Our next project will be to start some new ones. We lost a huge limb off one of the box elders, but the one next to our house, the one Russ's mom warned us had to be taken down immediately the first time she visited 43 years ago, is still standing. Evening grosbeaks were abundant almost year-round when we moved here. Now most years we don't see any in Duluth, but when they do show up, they still gravitate to our yard thanks to those box elders waving their seeds like a big Edith Joe's sign easily seen from above. We've never had the time to do much gardening, but we have done our best to root out invasive thistles and buckthorn, though there's a tree in a neighboring yard that those neighbors want to keep. Russ loves cherries, so we planted 2 non-native cherry trees 20 or so years ago. One of those trees died, but chickadees used it for nesting before it came down, and another cherry tree sprouted from its roots. Unexpectedly, the cherries on it are just as tasty as on the original, and this tree is still tiny enough that last summer our little grandson Walter could reach a lot of them even without Russ holding him up. Limbs have fallen from our surviving cherry tree, and the cherries on most of the remaining branches are too high for Russ to reach, while the tree itself is no longer sturdy enough to brace a ladder against. But that tree will stay there until it topples, because so many birds relish it. Last year, Russ planted 2 new cherry trees in our front yard. We've also planted some natives, a couple of Juneberry shrubs and 1 Juneberry tree, native thistles, and bee balm. I tried growing milkweed, but the few times I did get monarch caterpillars, the Minnesota Department of Agriculture's spraying for spongy moths killed them. The milkweed wasn't thriving anyway, so I gave up on it. Dogwoods and woodbine have been growing along our fence since we moved here. Benign neglect has allowed them to flourish along with the brown thrashers and gray catbirds who love nesting in tangles. My bird feeders lure in quite a few birds, of course, but even more are lured in by my bird baths, especially in late July and August. I have friends who have gone to much greater lengths to improve their backyard habitat, friends who put my paltry efforts to shame. I'd be proud to be the kind of person who could legitimately earn a wildlife habitat designation for my yard. But for the low-energy kind of person I am, I'm extremely happy to be right here on Peabody Street, where I belong. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.